The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. It is hour two of four. Charlie Kirk at 10. Dennis Prager at 11. Guy named Seb Gorka at 1. And then we go live and local with Deb Flora at 3 and Stephen Tubbs at 4. Real quick, got a text from a buddy of the show, Dr. Julia. As you know, she's a world-class dentist. Tells everyone she's an oral surgeon, but I think at the end of the day, she's most proud of the fact that she's like a dentist. I want to be a dentist. But she said, hey, her husband, Representative Tony Hartsook, was on Deb's show, and Deb treated him much more respectfully and didn't point out that his wife outranked him. And I said, that's why you come on this show, really, is to have those kinds of flaws pointed out so that you can go on about your business. I just find it's a credibility builder for one of us. Anyway, listen, you know that this Friday, that's tomorrow, and Saturday are the Western Conservative Summit right there at the Denver Convention Center. We're co-hosting this thing with the Centennial Institute. Our buddy Jeff Hunt, who fills in for me and fills in for others on this station, does a great, great job. Still really waiting for just that call to Brian's office to say we think Jeff's going to do a better job, get out. But I don't know if that's going to happen this week. I feel like it's going to happen. Nonetheless, a lot of big speakers there, but we have a caller on the line who wants to talk about the Western Conservative Summit. Malcolm, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think, sir?
Yeah, hi. I listen to your show all the time, and I hear the advertisement for the Western Conservative Summit. I say you're going to have Lauren Boebert. I mean, I don't think – if I were a betting man, I'd say she's going to lose the next election. I think she made a fool of herself playing hardball with the Freedom Caucus and Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Greene. She won by 500 votes. They won. And I don't think she's anybody that I would listen to about anything.
Well, as you know, Lauren is one of only three Republican congressional folks right here from the state of Colorado. We've been whittled down. We own the Western Slope.
I'm aware of that, for sure.
Right? Hang on. We have Buck, we have Boebert, we have Lamborn. Buck and Boebert are for sure going to be at the Western Conservative Summit talking. I don't think there's any doubt, by the way, that Lauren is conservative in the positions that she's taken. Whether or not she's vulnerable next year, I can tell you, the Democrats are going to come for that seat because of the 500 vote thing that you said. But there's also no doubt she has a huge following. She does have influence, and she has the ability to project a message, and she's conservative. Why wouldn't you have her there?
Okay, I mean, that's great, but I think she's going to lose. I mean, I think she made a fool of herself. I don't know what influence a 500 vote margin is.
Well, you're just talking about in one particular congressional district, but her message does resonate with folks, even if she had a very close election this last time. And by the way, remember, that wasn't in a presidential election year. The turnout in 2024 is going to be different, and I could definitely see that margin being much different.
Oh, okay. That's all I have to say, really.
Well, Malcolm, can I ask you this? Are you going to the Western Conservative Summit?
No, I work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm a registered nurse.
Can I ask you this, too? Have you been keeping an eye on all the folks jumping into the presidential race on the GOP side of things?
Of course.
And what are your thoughts? Like, who do you like out there?
Well, first of all, I do think that, I have all negatives about Trump. I mean, without going along. So the question is, to my mind, DeSantis, I don't think, had to pick a fight with Disney. I thought that was pretty juvenile. I thought that was grandstanding. So I lost a lot of confidence in his position on Ukraine. Sounds isolationist, although he hasn't really. So I've been relatively with Mike Pence. I would say, unless I learn more about Bergen, you know, people that I don't know very well, and I listen to Larry Elder on the radio. And he's very articulate. But
what about Tim Scott or Chris Christie?
Well, I like them. Well, Haley, I don't know. I don't know Haley. I like Tim Scott and I like Chris Christie. The question, you know, so they're all good. Haley, I don't know. Do we know Haley?
Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina. She was the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations.
Yeah.
Trump's pick for that. I mean, that's big.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'm not putting her down. I'm, believe me, not even close. But I like them all. The question is, who can win the election?
Do you think Pence can win? And it's important because your first reference was, why do we have Lauren Boebert coming when she could very well lose the next election? You think Pence stands a chance of winning this thing?
I think he has been articulate, and I think he's been nuanced.
True and true. Do you think he can win? Everything you've just said is accurate. Do you think he can win? In your heart, Malcolm.
I have a pretty good feel. I mean, first of all, can he beat Trump?
That's kind of a prerequisite to winning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. But I mean, and I'm digressing a little bit here, but Trump. It's two things. Trump is the person, and Trump is his loyal following, which I'm 74 years old. I've never seen a following as loyal
Me neither.
As Donald Trump.
Never. Me neither.
And I'm digressing here from your question. Would it take a collaboration of candidates to say anybody but Trump, we cannot let Trump get the nomination? I mean, I can't remember that happening, but is that – I mean, he has a solid 30%
Solid 30% nationally. Within the Republican Party, it's bigger than that. And so
– Oh, okay, then that's even worse.
It is. Well, if you're rooting against Trump and rooting for somebody who's not Trump, the idea of multiple candidates in this race – has to give you pause, because that's what happened in 2016, right? Like, that's how he ended up winning, you know, a lot of those early races that gave him the wind at his back. I'm starting to conclude, though, based on some of the polling I've seen with the party, that even if it was just mano a mano, right? Like, let's just say it was just Trump versus DeSantis. I'm not convinced that that even works out for DeSantis. Not because he isn't the right guy at the right time. It doesn't matter if you don't have the support. But I was intrigued, Malcolm, by your reference to, hey, I really like Mike Pence. He's articulate and he's nuanced. I agree with all those things. I don't think there's a chance in hell Mike Pence becomes the party nominee. And not because he isn't a good guy who would do a good job. That's never the part of politics that matters. I just don't. I bet you that guy doesn't never polls north of 7%.
Oh, okay. 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 I can't disagree with you. But he has impressed me. You asked me who I like.
I got it. But it was in the context of that. Hey, why are we having Lauren Boebert at the Western Conservative Summit? One, she's incredibly popular. And I'll tell you this too, Malcolm. Have you ever seen her speak in public on a stage?
No, I have not.
Let me just tell you my thoughts on this. When she first started running, for a lot of different reasons, I would run into her early on the campaign trail at certain Republican events. And you could tell even then, she's got a way about her with the crowd, and it was a story, and she was just starting to roll out a story, and you start to hear the same story over and over again at these different settings. I ran into her again later in the campaign. She had gotten really good at it, and then at the state convention, the state assembly back in 2022, where we nominate folks and do stuff like that. She kind of kicked off the whole thing. And I'm telling you, man, she brought the people to their feet. Now, granted, it's a microcosm of the rest of the world. I get it when you're just talking about those people going to the Republican Assembly. But she did a really, really nice job. She is good at delivering the speech stuff. None of that rebuts a single thing you said about whether she's going to win. But in terms of being a speaker, I'd have her. I mean, we've had her on the show. Okay. She does a nice job.
Can I digress? This is a purely useless anecdote. But when I was in high school in 1966, I shook Robert Kennedy's hand. And
wow.
It was it was electrifying. He has, I mean, that I knew what charisma meant to look at him within, you know, 6 inches.
Hey, our buddy Jeff Hunt, who is the Centennial Institute guru and a guy who fills in all the time for me and other folks here, just texted me and said the last 2 years at the Western Conservative Summit, the top rated speaker has been Lauren Boebert. I'm just telling you, man, I know you're not going to get a chance to go out there because you're doing the hard work of being a nurse. But if you get the chance, and I don't know if this is going to be live streamed or recorded somewhere and you can watch it, separate yourself from the I think she's going to lose part and just watch her. And you'll be like, I get it, man. She is a pretty darn good messenger on the stage for a lot of these conservative things. Malcolm, as long as it's
question.
Not math, you can. Yep.
Is she intelligent? I mean, and I'm not being facetious. Would you let her be your CPA? I mean,
there's a lot of people I wouldn't let be my CPA, right? Like, I don't even know what Billy knows about accounting, so I probably wouldn't let Billy do the accounting thing. But is she smart? Yes, she's smart. Is she as educated, as formally educated as you and me or other folks? I don't think so. But when I talk to her, I can see the wheel spinning in her head. And when I listen to her talk on the stage, I think to myself, she's pretty dang good at this, right? Like, she is a good communicator. There are things she says on the floor of the House and at other events where I kind of cringe a little bit, like, dang, I wouldn't have gone down that road. But that's for her to decide, right? Like, she's an elected member of Congress. I'm not even an elected member of the studio, you know?
No. Can I ask you another question?
And this, yeah, but let's digress. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I believe, and this, you can disagree with me, I think that people in public office should have to take an IQ test. Is that an anathema to you? You've taken IQ tests, I'm sure.
I've never taken an IQ test because I can't figure out how to cheat on it. And I'm struggling to figure out because I need to get above room temperature on that thing. No, I don't think I don't care about the IQ portion of it because I think that there are parts of that test that are good and parts that are not. But what I would like to see is to have voters once again care about someone's background and credentials instead of their personality. And that, but we've gone past that with the advent of that televised debate between Nixon and Kennedy. Backgrounds and substance have been slowly fading away, where we elected to president a guy whose greatest claim to fame before that was he'd been a senator for about 2 years, and before that a community organizer. That's who was president of the United States. We also elected a president of the United States, a guy who had spent every moment of his adult life in federal government as a senator or the vice president up to that point.
He never had a job.
Right.
Never had a job.
I just, you know, we elected a guy. Again, this is going to sound like sour grapes, and it's not, because I did want to be attorney general. But we elected a guy to be attorney general who had been an academician for his entire career, had not stepped foot inside a courtroom other than maybe to see somebody else do something on the record. So I would like us to return not to a let's evaluate their IQ, because I have no doubt Phil Weiser's smarter than I am. I don't really question that at all. Guy doesn't know what he's doing because he's never done anything before, right? So
Is that who you meant, the Attorney General?
Yeah, for the state. Yeah. Nonetheless, hey, okay. Malcolm, I'll let you get back to it, buddy. Thank you for the call, and thanks for getting us kicked off. I like the phone call, man, because you haven't called in before, and I love that you're a listener and that you're asking questions that let us talk about two things that we're big on at the moment. One is the Western Conservative Summit. Can't wait for that thing to get here tomorrow. I understand from a text that I did not yet receive from Jeff that everyone that goes gets a car. I'm kidding. I made that up entirely. But it would be cool, by the way. If we did that, Billy, I think you'd find a way to get there.
Yeah, but I think the car's a gremlin.
I'd still do it. I mean, free car, you know? Listen, Malcolm helped us kick off another topic that I wanted to talk to you about, and I'll save the sound until we come back from a break. And that is that there are now more people running for president than not running for president. In fact, Billy, are you announcing today? Have you made that decision yet?
I'm forming an exploratory committee.
You understand that that's to explore to run, not just exploring.
Oh. So I can't have Dora on the team?
Is Dora, you know, the explorer?
Is a diversity hire, but you know.
Do, 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 do. Come on, Boots.
Exactly.
Love that show for the kids. No, listen, but there's a bunch of people on there, and I want to talk about three of them. All right, we're going to talk about, and they're all in the news this very week. We're going to talk about a guy named Mike Pence. That's who Malcolm likes. We're going to talk about a dude named Chris Christie, former prosecutor. That makes me lean his direction, at least in terms of his background. And then a fella named Tim Scott, who I also like quite a bit. They've all been in the news this week, and we're going to play some sound from each of them and talk about some of what they bring and some of what you saw happen. Before I cut away for a break, though, and we'll get back to that good sound in your conversations, and I'm not kidding here, your thoughts on this matter to me more than my thoughts on this, because I realize I am the product of my background and my own biases. I need calls like Malcolm's and yours, and that's why you got to pick up the phone and dial 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971, or hit us on the text. We've been getting texts in all morning. I'll get to some of those as well. Before we cut away for a break, though, can I tell you about a superstar, a guy named Dan Kaplis? I keep thinking, by the way, Billy, that Dan is going to end up running for office someday, and I think every election cycle, his name pops up in a who's going to run for this thing. Oh, now, yeah, maybe not this cycle because there's no statewide offices up at the state or federal level, no Senate, nothing like that. But people keep asking about Dan running for office, and I can tell you why. Because he's tall. No, I'm kidding. He's not just tall. This is a guy who's developed a reputation as someone who is a fighter for justice for people, regardless of their background, regardless of their situation. He simply wants to do the right thing. And when you get that as your perceived character, there's really no limit to the kinds of good things that you can do with that kind of credibility. And the reason Dan does it is for decades now, he has been stepping into the ring against the big boys. That's the insurance companies, the trucking companies, other companies where people have been hurt, and says, hey, you don't get to run away from this. You're not going to nickel and dime these people. You change their lives forever for the worse. I get it. It was an accident, or I get it. It was reckless. That doesn't let you walk away from it. And when they try to, or they try to bully their way through, they're picking on the wrong dude. In fact, if you ever look at someone that gets more energized, the more adversity they faced, that's Dan Kaplis. If you want to have a better shot with Dan, be super nice. Be super sweet to him. Because the minute you turn on the bully, this guy grows like three sizes. I don't know how he does it. He and his partner, Bobber Wahid, have been doing this now for years. I remember Bobber when he was the same size but much younger, and did his first trial with him. Kid's just got natural ability, and now he's got another 16 years of practice under his belt. This guy's been hitting home runs for Dan for a long time. Give him a call at 303-770-5551, 303-770-5551, or check him out at DanKaplisLaw.com, DanKaplis, C-A-P-L-I-S, Law.com. When we come back, you, me, guys that want to be president, and 710 KNUS. Chickaboom, George Braga right here, 710 KNUS, back at you. A couple of folks have jumped into the fray. Billy told me the other day the number of people that have announced for candidate for president. The number blew me away because I thought, is it three? Because I was like, it's Nikki Haley. Oh, four. Tim Scott, Ron DeSantis, and Donald Trump. And Billy goes, no. It's like, I can't remember what you said, Billy, like 12. I'm like,
yeah,
what?
I think we're up to 12 now.
It's insane. But that pot just grew. Larry Elder, of course, is not a 710 guys, but a Salem guy. And we've had Larry on the show. Larry, I think, is he in the race officially now, Bill?
Yes, sir, he is.
Okay, so that's another one. But then we added two more this week. And you got to be bummed if you're either one of these candidates because they jumped out on the same day. And you kind of want to dominate a news cycle. And I don't think either one of them did. But there are fellas named Chris Christie, former governor of the state of New Jersey and former U.S. attorney out there, as well as Mike Pence, former congressman. I think he was, wasn't he the governor of Indiana? And then he became the vice president of the United States of Donald Trump. He's now running against his former running mate and boss, DJT, Chris Christie. And Billy had to remind me of this because I did not recall this. In fact, tell the story, Billy. Chris has a unique axe to grind, and then we'll play some Chris Christie sound, and we'll get to the phones at 303-696-1971.
I got to turn on the rumble. I turned that off. Okay, I got to do this to respect Lou because I clicked off the camera, so I'm doing this. We're just treading water here for a second, so that just in case.
Oh, sorry.
That's not up.
Today, I consider myself.
Sorry. I got to remember to mute that tab too because now I have a new tab started. Alrighty, sir. Okay, now I'm in here. Oh, that's better. Thank you. Now, what happened was is we have to go back that Chris Christie does feel a little aggrieved by Donald Trump, in my opinion. Part of it being that Chris Christie was the transition manager for Donald Trump after he won. He also was one of the first people. He was originally a no Donald Trump guy. Then when Donald Trump got traction, he was one of the first guys to officially endorse him and be a pro Donald Trump guy. I believe he was second or third after Jeff Sessions because Sessions was the first one. Sessions, we will recall, was where are you putting the camera? That's weird. All of a sudden, George's camera went down.
Surprise. Folks, just so you know, for those of you watching on the Rumble, I took a moment to try to free some of the breakfast between, I think, I-4 and 5 up top.
Yum.
So sorry for that.
Num-nums. So extra. A little treat for later. I was wondering, I'm like, did we have a stroke or something? Because on the camera, I'm like,
no.
Do we need to call someone?
I think
someone?
You'd see the camera stay good. Still and I would just fall.
Yeah.
Disappear.
So the and in Sessions, we remember, it was rewarded with the AG office. And so there was kind of a reward for, you know, being loyal to Donald Trump and coming out early. Chris Christie was angling for chief of staff or some other cabinet position. He managed the transition. And then, then he was going to be in charge of the exercise program. He was then pushed out. He was not given a role inside of the administration. And he always kind of carried that with him, was a little angry about it. And the story goes that it was Jared Kushner that helped push Christie out because Chris Christie is the guy that convicted Kushner's father and sent him to prison. So Kushner's not a fan of Chris Christie. And so the story goes that he leveraged his influence with his father-in-law and had Christie pushed out. Then there is a second incident that happens a number of years later. Now, Christie was, I would say, a lukewarm Trump supporter at that point. He did take some shots, but it was 110% like where he is now. He was helping Donald Trump prep for the 2020 debate cycle. And Donald Trump gave him the COVID. And he ended up in the ICU and was touch and go for a little while. So he does have a little bit of animosity there as well. And Chris Christie is the one that says it is Trump that gave him COVID because Christie, because of his obvious problems that he could have if he gets the COVID, it will just go that way because of his physical health and other
morbid
things.
Slimness.
Yes, is a problem. So he was around only people that had been tested, and the Trump camp would not tell him Trump's status on the testing. But he said, okay, I'll go ahead and I'll do the debate prep. It came out later that Trump was positive during that time. And Chris Christie's like, he is the only one that I didn't know that was, you know, that was tested. And so he said, that's the only loose cannon. That's the only unknown variable in his time at that. And
so,
so he's got a little bit of a reason.
Why didn't he like put Clorox in his veins and just get right back?
He should have, or just the sunshine, because you know the sun does, it goes through the skin.
Sunshine.
Evidently, is what they tell you. Or the
I did not know all the background of that stuff, man. That is fascinating. And the good news is, if you've got that sound getting ready to play here for Chris Christie, is none of that has impacted his view of the president as he begins to run for office. I think he announced, was it 2 days ago?
Yes, sir.
Billy, if you've got that sound, let's listen to the love song he's written to DJT.
A lonely, self-consumed, self-serving mirror hog. He is, for those of you who read the Harry Potter books, like Voldemort. He is he who shall not be named. Well, let me be clear. in case I have not been already. The person I am talking about, who is obsessed with the mirror, who never admits a mistake, who never admits a fault, and who always finds someone else and something else to blame for whatever goes wrong, but finds every reason to take credit for anything that goes right, is Donald Trump.
And that's why you should vote for me for president of the United States. I realize there was more to his soliloquy than just that, but holy smokes, this is a guy who may really be running for president. I mean, yeah, formally he's running for president, but I mean, some folks, you know, they're running for president because I don't know if they think I got to be there in case lightning strikes the other 11 people running and then I'm the guy, or because they're trying to advance a future run, or they're just building up name ID. I mean, listen, this is my take, and you could disagree with this, but when Donald Trump ran for president back in 2016, I don't think he really believed he was going to win. I don't. I think he believed what you and I believed, which was the polls and all that other stuff that said that Clinton was going to win, and he put on the big, brave face that you have to do when you're the CEO of a company and you're trying to get deals done and stuff like that. But if you look at that man's face when he walked out on that stage after running, you just can't come to the conclusion that that was an expected moment at all. Nonetheless, Chris Christie, I don't really think he thinks he can be president of the United States, not in terms of ability, but in terms of, like, I don't think he thinks he can get there. I think he is running almost like the enforcer. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I talked to Billy about this off the air. In hockey, you have dudes like the Hansen brothers from one of the great, in fact, the only great hockey movie of all time, other than maybe Miracle on Disney Plus right now, the Paul Newman spectacular slap shot. But the, like the Hansen brothers, Chris Christie is all three Hansen brothers put into one. And I think he's there to try to be that constant reminder for folks that may fall in love with the cult of personalities that is the former president that, hey, keep in mind, this guy's broken on a whole bunch of different ways. This is Chris Christie's approach. I'd be interested to know what you think about that at 303-696-1971. I think we still have a caller on the line. Billy, is it Jason? Hey, Jason, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think, Jason? What are your thoughts on this whole presidential thing? And if you have a thought on Chris Christie, I'd love to hear that too.
You know, one of the things that your first caller brought up and you and he discussed was the you've never seen, I'll say, like a cult-like following with Trump. But Obama got 90 to 95% of the African-American vote. And people glom onto stuff. I mean, everybody does it. But you,
Do you see it as that 90 to 95% of the African-American community was a function of the cult of personality, or – hey, this is our first legitimate shot at an African-American president?
I think, in my opinion, Obama, when he was reading off the teleprompter, that dude was smooth. I mean, he was pretty good.
I agree with you completely.
I don't, in my opinion, he was not qualified. And like I tell my liberal friends, there's no difference between Obama and Trump. At one point in time, they were sitting at the dinner table with friends and family or whoever, and I go, you know what? I can be president of the world, because that's what you are. You're president of the world. The difference is that Trump will tell you that he can do it. Obama is much more smooth. And in my opinion, this is where the liberals are so much better. They're much better at saying, here's why you need me to do it. And somebody had said that, you know, Americans, we want our politicians to be like a panther in a china shop. Every once in a while, the panther will knock a piece of crystal off.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, don't mess with me. We've got a moose. You know, we've got an elk during the rut season in the china shop with Trump. And, but you know, I'm not hiring these people to be my friends. I hate the lack of decorum with Trump. I hated that. But you know what? He got the job done. Now, and again, with my liberal friends, I'll say, okay, I will say, perhaps, you know, Biden has more decorum, but we're not hiring somebody to look pretty on stage. We're hiring someone to get a job done. And I think that's one thing that people forget. Politicians work for us. We pay their salary. But I think the liberals put the politicians on a pedestal and say, oh, we need to follow, you know, we need to follow what the politicians say. And that's not how we're set up.
Let me say, I don't think Joe Biden is, you know, the model of decorum either. I mean, this dude is a hair-sniffing, awkwardly touching kind of guy who plagiarized his way through his last presidential race before he became vice president. So I'm not sure that that's it either. I do agree with you, though, that the advantage that Democrats have just simply because of the mainstream media and Hollywood and all that is epic. I mean, it is a huge, huge advantage. And I think the thing that we underestimate is not the impact that it has today, but cumulatively over time. What have we done to the last two generations of voters and the next two with this pervasive sort of left-leaning media that has taken place everywhere? But to your point, do you think that back in the day when Obama left office, I can't believe I'm saying this, we're coming up on 8 years ago, I guess 7 years ago.
Yeah.
If he had been indicted by a grand jury in a Republican jurisdiction, let's just pick some place where, like in Texas, had he been indicted for something and prosecuted, do you think that the response from the Democrat loyalists would be the same, more or less, than what DJT has seen since his recent run-ins with the law?
The race card would have come out as soon as.
Well, you're right about that. The race card would have
something
come out.
Started. So, I mean, because of that, it would never get that far. And you look. Because I thought I'd heard that there's charges that they're bringing against Trump again this week.
I'm glad you brought that up. We were going to talk about that. You're right. There's the signaling, the smoke signals that, hey, the indictment's coming.
Yes. And so, okay, with the Russia collusion, we spent $25 million, spent how many years, you know, and you can chart it out to see how many people that were on the Mueller committee were donated to Democrat and left-leaning politicians. Hey, knock yourself out. You know, it's a free country as far as that goes. Sure. But after all this time, you still didn't come up with something. And then with the woman in New York City who claimed that Trump molested her, she 30 years ago, 25 years ago, she helped change the law so that she could bring these charges against Trump. And George, in my opinion, I'm going to be blunt. The American voter is stupid. I mean, you look at the average reading comprehension in the U.S. and it's eighth grade. And what you just said there.
Did you feel that way in 2016 when Trump won?
I was on the fence. But from listening to other talk shows, I've heard two other talk show guys say that they were told when they got into media that they had to – they had to talk, you know, put their show at the eighth grade comprehension when you're having a discussion.
Billy,
because
I think Jason's just hit upon why I got hired.
I
was not given the memo.
Grade.
I think they were just like, we don't have to tell him to do it. He just does it. Sweet and, goodness.
Yeah, you know,
that's all I bring to the table.
No. Yeah, you know, if I'm talking to somebody on the other side of the table, I ask them two questions. I ask them if this Colin
is that
Kaepernick,
your hand? No, I'm sorry. What?
And if that's not your hand, whose is it?
Those aren't pillows.
You know, I love having discussion. I was in debate in high school. I love banter back and forth, and I want the other side of the story. But in my opinion, one of the first things we did in debate, the first thing was called definition of terms. And it's to lay out how are we going to define these words. And if I'm talking to someone on the other side of the table, I ask what I consider two simple questions. Number one, find out what their knowledge is. Number two, are they open to correction? Because if you're not, then it's a moot point. And the two things, is Colin Kaepernick entitled to First Amendment protection when he's kneeling on the football field? No, because you look, the Bill of Rights protects us from the government. Not from the NFL.
I can interrupt just for a second. Just now, you're talking about terms, and the definition of terms in debate is very important. And the idea when you talk about the Russian collusion, you're technically correct, but you are mischaracterizing the Mueller report. Mueller did find no collusion as the legal definition.
That's a big
but
one.
He did find that the Trump campaign and the Russian intelligence were coordinating and communicating. Manafort has admitted this in a public interview in the last 12 months, saying, yes, I was taking money from Russian intelligence and I was sharing Trump campaign information with them. They have emails, they have conversations, but Mueller accurately said it did not rise to the level of collusion legally. He then found 10 instances of obstruction of justice, five of which you and I would be in jail today if we had done them. And so it's a little bit of a mischaracterization when everybody says, oh, the Russian collusion thing, oh, it's a bunch of crap. It wasn't. Mueller proved it. And a number of people went to jail.
100% crap, a lot of the big things they were chasing down never happened.
But again, it is a lot of things they chased down did happen, and it is proven in the report. And so it is it's a nuance or a semantic argument when you say there wasn't any Russian collusion. Yes, you are technically right. But dismissing it as if nothing happened is incorrect and not factually accurate. There was a lot of information that was shared back and forth and a lot of coordination of information that went back and forth. That's just to clear that up. I'm going away now.
No, it's okay.
That's great. Yes.
Jason, can I ask you too, before, because I don't want to lose sight of where we're in a circle here and I want to get back to where we started.
Sure.
When you listen to that clip from Chris Christie, tell me your reaction to that and whether you think Chris Christie is going to be a difference maker in this. Now, there are going to be some folks out there, probably four of them, that say, I think Chris Christie can win. I don't think Chris Christie can win. But can he be a difference maker in this race? And if so, how?
No, I don't think he can. And if I can kind of go off on a tangent on that, when we look at politicians and we look at the people who run for these positions, to me, Jordan Peterson laid it out very nicely in a podcast that I heard him talk about. It's like, who gravitates towards positions like this? Who gravitates towards positions of CEOs of the biggest companies? Sociopaths. And it is a small, it's like, and I'm being honest. I mean, you know, I could never be a nurse. I could never be in medicine. I can't handle blood and guts. You know, we all have our niches where we fit in, and we all have personality traits, and there are certain personalities. There's no way I would want to be a politician. I don't want to get in front of the camera. I'm too ugly to be on TV. You know, I'm more suited to radio if I was going to, you know,
samesies,
do something. And to me, it's like, it doesn't matter if you're left, center, or right. If you're heading towards trying to get into a political position, especially as president of the United States, there's certain psychological traits that all of these people have. Well, Christie is in there. How he thinks he's going to make a difference, and Pence, I have no idea. I really have no idea. But you know what? They think they can. So, hey, more power to them if they want to spend the money.
Jason, thanks for the thoughtful phone call, man, and getting us going through this topic. Jason's line is open at 303-696-1971. I want to cut away for another break for a couple of reasons. One, I want to read through the texts that are coming in here. Still getting through those. But also, one of the nice groundskeepers here, Billy, I don't know if you can tell, but this dude has started up what is arguably the loudest blower I've ever heard. He is half a football field away from me, and it sounds like it's in my mouth. Can you hear that?
Yeah, we can hear a little bit of it. Not bad.
Okay. If it's not bad, then I won't move too much. But I got to cut away for a break anyway. Not until I tell you about our expert on beautifying the interior of your house by upgrading the kitchen counter or the bathroom counter in your house. And that's Mitch Floria with the Art of Granite. Billy, we got to make a note to get Mitch back in. I love that dude. His story is fantastic. And frankly, I'd love to hear some of his thoughts on what's going on out there in the real estate world. Because when folks make the decision to either buy and move into an existing home or to move out of their or they're considering moving out, sometimes they think got to be countertops because that's the first biggest thing that people notice. Mitch is the guy, maybe the only guy worth calling in this area, because he's not just a good businessman. He's a craftsman, and this dude has focused his business. He has focused his business on customer satisfaction. You know that when you go out to his showroom right about 6th Avenue and Colfax-ish out there, beautiful place. You see things that you just couldn't have conceived of before on countertops. Like when you see things on the, you know, on TV and you're like, God, that's a beautiful kitchen. Those are the kinds of countertops Mitch does every single day for folks just like you and me. But here's the kicker too. If you tell Mitch you're a George Show listener, a 710 KNUS fan, he says, oh, me too. I'm going to let you in on a little something. I'm going to throw in your bathroom countertop for free with your kitchen countertop package. Or if you're just doing one room, that's okay. He'll throw the sink in for free with your kitchen countertop package. You just got to give him a call because this number rings in his pocket. It's 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. Or you can check him out at these four little words, theartofgranite.com. When we come back, you, me, the texts. Is Chris Christie going to make a difference here? And if so, how? George Brockler, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS, flying like an eagle. It's getting a little sunnier out here in the Big D, Dallas, where I'm sitting for the moment. I'll be back tomorrow. Not in the studio, not until the evening, but I'll be back with you in studio on Monday. Listen, we've been talking about the entrance into the presidential race of Chris Christie, Mike Pence, and some stuff that took place with Tim Scott earlier this week that I was kind of fascinated by. We're going to get to all that stuff over the course of the morning, but we launched into this conversation with Malcolm and Jason talking about Chris Christie and the comments that he made. He seems to me to be like the enforcer. Like, we have put him on the ice not to score goals and win games, but to break Wayne Gretzky or something like that. Like, that's what it seems like. Our number, 303-696-1971. Maybe you see it differently. Can Chris Christie make a difference in this race? Can he win? I mean, if it was just head-to-head, Christie and Trump, could he pull this thing off? Let's go to the phone lines. It's Jose from Arvada.
Oh, hi, hola, George. Jose.
Hola.
Hi. You look at Chris Christie. He's everything that's wrong with the Republican Party right now.
How so?
So he's like a Democrat up on stage for the Democrats, dressed up as a Republican. You know,
what positions
the proverbial
does he take that's,
rhino.
That's Democrat-y? What does he do that's Democrat-y?
Well, if you look at him, for instance, he doesn't believe, I guess, in fighting the Democrats. He believes in basically capitulation.
Give me an example, not a description.
Well,
but say,
I'll give you a perfect example. Chris Christie takes the money from CNN. He's their mouthpiece. Basically, he's the what was her name? Liz Cheney. He's the Liz Cheney only guy version.
Is it because he gets money from some of these mainstream media outlets that makes him a Dem? Like, I'm looking for the position he's taken that Joe from Arvada says, oh, man, that's a Dem position.
Well, if you remember, he also is...
Hey, Joe, do me a favor, man. We're at music. Just hang on. We'll complete this conversation and get some more when we come back. Just hang on. Can you do that? Stick around. It's George Brockler on The George Show. You're listening to 710 KNU. I'm going to sneak it in, S.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.